Bezer Shem Mitzvah, we begin Perek Shisha, the sixth chapter in the Amos Hilchah Sheol Pekodin, the laws of borrowing, the laws of deposits, where we continue the laws of the Shomer Chinam, of the one who's guarding without pay, and this Perek specifically regarding the different claims that could come up regarding a Shmira, regarding safeguarding something. The Rambam gives Halacha off regarding taking an oath that it's not in his possession, in his domain. Shomer Chinam Shomar, if an unpaid custodian says, look, Harin Mishal, I'll pay for the loss of the item. V'ein Nishba, although I could swear that something happened which will exempt me, you know what, I'm not going to swear. So, it depends. If the deposit was something, all of its type, they're all the same. And it's available in the marketplace to go buy the same item. Could go and pay just like produce, or yudiya, shal tzemeh, shal pishn, or reams, cloths of wool or of linen. They're all the same for the their context. Or beam which are not shaped and with any forms, or anything similar like that, where these are mass produced. So good, go ahead. He could pay, and he doesn't have to swear. Although he could get himself off, he wants to pay and reimburse the owner. Fine. But let's say the deposit was a behemoth, an animal, or a formed, an engraved garment, a clean besukin, or a fixed vessel. Or it's something that it's not found, it's not available on the market, then but then we're concerned that maybe this guy's eye, he put an eye on these things, meaning he desires it, he wants it, and therefore he's saying, oh, got lost, I'll pay you back. No, really, he just wants it, because it's not available, he'll pay for it. And therefore, so make him swear, based on the rabbinic injunction, a shvur b'nikitas chevetz, to swear holding a holy object, that's not in his domain. Then we know it's not there. It really did get lost or something like that, which he could have exempted himself, but he's not. Then he could go ahead and compensate and go beyond the letter of the law and pay back to the owner. Then it goes to the other types of custodians. Like, for example, a borrower. Shaman that he says, Mesa died or Nigdimbo was stolen. Wait, he would be liable for that. Or a paid custodian or a renter. Shaman that he says, Nigdimbo shavde, it was stolen or got lost. So although they're incriminating themselves, they make themselves liable to pay, still, we make them first take an oath that it's not in the domain. So it really did get lost. And then they have to pay for the value of the animal or the object. We're concerned that maybe he's eyeing this thing, that he really wants it. And we first have to know that it's not really true that he has it and he just wants to like pay for it. Now, let's say the owners say, Yasal Zahayashab, what do you mean it was worth more than this amount? Then Kail Bishavu Asay, then he includes in the oath, which is known as the halacha concept of Gilgul Shvua, because if not for a different oath, he would not be obligated in this oath. But once he's swearing anyway, then we include in this oath, Shayna Shabbat El Kach Vakach, that he has to swear, no, it was only worth this and this amount, and I'm paying you how much the value of the item actually was. Now, the Ram continues with this oath of the Shemrim. What's the foundation of this, the stipulations, and different proofs regarding this oath obligation. Nimtza comes out. Any custodian that swears the oath of the custodians, comes out that he includes in his oath three things. First of all, that he safeguarded the way Hashem has to do, that he wasn't negligent in his shmira. And this and this is what happened, and it's not in his domain. And that he also didn't touch it to utilize it, because if he did, it actually would make him liable for whatever happened. That he didn't touch it before this event that happened, which he's exempt from, that's beyond his obligations of watching. Now, if he wants to pay, so he doesn't have to swear to exempt himself, but initially he still has to swear that it's not in his domain, because we're concerned that maybe he really wants it and it's really by him. The Kalib also including the oath, as we just mentioned, is also how much it was worth if the owner is saying that it was worth actually more than that. Now, the guard, the custodian, he could stipulate, because although the Torah says there's certain liabilities, but since it's regarding monetary law, it could go opposite what the Torah says and it's valid. He could make a stipulation, I don't want to watch the way other shemim in my category watch it. Hello, rather, the money that you're depositing by me, I'm going to leave it in the corner of my house, or similar things, so although it has to be buried when it comes to money. He said, look, I'm only taking it to watch for you for free if I don't have the liabilities of a shemichinim. Let's say the shomer claims that there was a stipulation between us. The only deposit says, there was no stipulation. You weren't getting paid, but you have the halachic obligations of a shomer chinam. So although he deposited by him with witnesses, meaning witnesses saw him depositing him, and they didn't hear anything about a stipulation. But since the shomer could say, you know what? I did watch it the way shomer usually watched it. And he would believe by swearing to that effect. So Nemalim, that's what's called a migui, since he could make a claim and he would be believed, Nemalim is believed to say, Shall you be named tonight that there was a stipulation between them, and therefore he's exempt because of that reason. Lafika, therefore, Yeshaba Shalishalch Yod Bay, he has to at least swear that okay, that he didn't touch it, because then he actually would be liable. And Bashain Bashru said that it's not in his domain, because again we're concerned that it's actually still by him. And Bashal you be named tonight, and also now Gilgal Shvu, we make him swear that there was this stipulation between them, and then he's off to Hak. Halacha Gimel. If a unpaid custodian brings a proof that he wasn't negligent, and if he's not negligent, he's exempt. So patam shvur. So although generally he has to swear that that's the effect, but he has proof. So he's exempt from making the oath. And the inem we don't say, wait a second, shemeshalach b'yod kod mishyevid. We say, well, usually when we make him take the shvur shayim that he wasn't negligent, we also then make him swear that he didn't touch it, because then he would be liable even if it wasn't the pshia. No, we're not concerned. Once he's exempt from the shvur that he's not negligent, we're not concerned. We don't say that maybe he touched it before it got lost. Now, Obala Bekodin, if the owner of the deposit, that he, Shehibi Roya Shepasha Hashem, let's say he brings proof that the guard was negligent, he has evidence that the Shemin didn't watch it appropriately, then Misham, then he has to pay. Again, that's the other extreme. Vimtan Vomar, let's say he claims and he says, yeah, but Tanayo Ibanenu. Yeah, I know it's negligent. You brought proof, but we had stipulated I'm not going to be responsible no matter what happens. Ain't him and he's not believed, because there are witnesses that he was negligent, and now therefore he doesn't have a miga to say, oh, I could have said I watched it the way Sherman usually do it, and I'm oinus. So obviously he's talking about that there were Adim that he received it as a Shemira, and there's Adim that saw that he was negligent, and therefore he doesn't have the miga anymore, therefore he's not believed to say that there was a Tanai. Halacha Dalet continues regarding depositing with witnesses. And regarding our evaluation of what went on, what's going on. Let's say someone deposits something by his friend with witnesses. Witnesses see he's giving it to him to watch for him. Now, the witnesses come along and say, that object that he had deposited by him is there by him. So the guardian cannot claim and say, yes, I know you got there was witnesses that saw, and you guys are claiming and you're saying that this is the object that he deposited by me. He cannot come along and say, Chazar to lekacht minu. Yeah, you're right, I was originally a shomer, but then I went back and I bought it from him. So I paid him $100 already for it, for that object. Oh, and suddenly he subsequently gave it to me as a gift. No, he's not believed to say that. If you could live for a mesa shomer, if the custodian dies, although generally you have to collect from orphans with an oath. No, here, since he's not believed to say that he bought it, we know that it's a pekodin. He could take back his pekodin, his deposit from even the orphans without an oath. Lawyer, not only that, if someone comes along and he says, he says to the orphans, he says, this and this is what I deposited by your father. He died, I want to get my thing back. And he gives defining characteristics of that item. And they find in the father's assets, the deposit, the way he described it. Moreover, the judge who is presiding over this case, he knows that the one who died wasn't so wealthy that this deposit should be his own item. So it was too expensive. It makes sense that it's this guy who's describing it, that it was his item. So then, so this judge should give this deposit to this person who's giving the defining characteristics. But Vahu is stipulating that Shalayiha Mafkid, as long as the one who claims the deposit was his, should not be rogli konas itzel shemes, that he's not commonly someone that would come and enter into the domain, into the property of the one who passed away. Because of Amhoyi rogli konas itzel, this one who's claiming it's his deposit was always frequently this guy's house, we're concerned Shemeshal Acher, who maybe really that's really someone else's thing. Vahikra Saman Shalay, he just recognized the signs because he was always there and he was always looking and he said, I like that thing. Now that he passed away, he's going to claim that it's his because, you know, it's a wealthy item and it's really someone else's. So then he's not going to be believed. Now, Bo Edim, let's say witnesses come along, Ve'idu Ladayin, and they testify to the judge, Shein Za'amad, the one who passed away, and let's say the judge himself doesn't know this. We said it's stipulating that the judge knows that the guy's not so wealthy, and he gives it back to the guy who gives him money. Let's say the judge doesn't know that, but witnesses come along and say, yeah, this guy didn't have so much money. So that would not be enough to extract from the orphans, because the testimony of these two guys saying that the one who passed away is not such a wealthy guy, and it doesn't make sense that it was his, because that's not a definitive proof. Because vest that the witnesses are evaluating his financial status, it's not the evaluation of the judge himself. And therefore, the judge only has only what his intelligence relies on. Like we're going to explain the laws of the Sanhedrin, and therefore that's not going to be enough to extract it and collect it from the orphans. Now, Ma'is Be'achad was the story of an individual, that a similar type of thing regarding Umdina, what we're evaluating, what the judge has to evaluate, is that he had deposited sesame seeds by his friend with witnesses. So the witnesses saw that he's giving him this bucket full of sesame seeds. Now, I came to claim it, get his sesame seeds back. And the shomer had said, Hechzachman, give it back to you. So the mafkid, the one who owns the deposit, says to him, this and this amount is the measurement of how much I gave you. And look, it's in your barrel right now, this and this amount of sesame seeds. So the shomer says to him, yeah, shalcha hechzati lach, but yours I give back to you. Ve'elu, this is achirim. I have the same exact other ones, my own. But Machacham and Sage just said, we don't take it away from the Shemer. Because Shema Elashim Shemin Shal Shemahim, maybe you're right, these sesame seeds are that of the Shemer. Elishava Hashemim and Nikitas Chevich Hechzer, rather the Shemer swears by holding a holy object that he returned it. Commissioner, like we explained this in Perek Beis, Machachir is Halacha, Yud Beis, that would be not enough to collect, similar to the previous Halacha, that if you have witnesses who say, who evaluate that this guy wasn't wealthy, it's not enough to extract. Halacha continues regarding the denial of the identity of the deposit. So Balabakadan, Shatova Bigdain. So the owner of the deposit comes to claim his deposit from the Shemer. But no slash Shemer, the Shemer gives it back to him. Vama Mafkid, and the owner of the deposit says, Ain't a Bigdain, this is not what I deposit by you. Elachu, this is something else. I show you what I gave you was whole, Va'ata Shveirata, and you broke it, this is broken. I chadashah, it was new, and it looks used, you used it. Or may sin have got the Islach. I give you 100 saw. Vein Elo El Khamim, there's only 50. And the homeowner, the shomer, he says, no, zehu shevkat the ba'atzmacha, this is what you deposit yourself. What you gave is what you're taking. The shomer, the guardian, only swears rabbinic oath, kashar kol nishban, like all those who are totally denying a claim that just make rabbinic oath. Why? Why is it not the biblical oath of the shomer? Because you don't have that a shomer to have to make the biblical oath of the oath of the shomer. It's only when he admits to that of the deposit, like the owner of the deposit is saying, it's just a betoyin shenigdim. He's just claiming got stolen, a mace, or died, or nishbo was taken captivity. Which kol shadav, the rule is as follows: toyin lifter atzma min atashulma. If he's claiming to exempt himself from the monetary payment, but he agrees that this was that everyone's in agreement what the deposit was, then nishbo was shemer. Then he has to make the biblical oath of the shemer. Avol mamber, he says, what do you mean? Zehu shashaltani. This is what you lend me. Or shaskartali. This is what you rented to me. Or shantalti sachal shmirasa. This is why I took wages for watching for you. Vabolim, the owners are saying, ain't is it? This is not it. El acher, it's something else. Or nishtan mekumashoy, it's different than it was that I gave you. In that case, hasilcha nishbehesis. The renter only makes a rabbinic oath. Or shavu satara, or could be a biblical oath, but a different one. Imhoidim mixes. If he agrees to partial of the claim, that's a different halacha. Imhoidim mixes, Torah obligates someone to swear, even if he's not a shamer, just because he's admitting to a partial of the claim. So Ketzer Hausel, if he says, may you still have kat yeslach, I deposit by you 100 so. Vashemir, I'm in the guardian saying, lo yiv kat yeslach hamishim, you only deposit by me 50. So nishba shvus hatayr, yeah, he's going to make a biblical oath, and they shall hide him in mixes, because he admitted to partial of the claim. But lo yimishim shvus hashemir, not because the shvu of the shemim. Shvus hashemir, he agrees what it was, it's a question regarding the liability. Let's say, may a kershal chitim have kat yeslach, he says, 100 core of wheat I deposit by you. Voimer, the Shemit says, "Lo yivkat de'etzle el me'as shel shel sa'irim." No, it wasn't 100 of wheat; it was 100 of barley. So it's a total denial of his claim, and he's admitting to something else. So that's really kayif ba'kayil. So nishbeheses kashar kol nishban b'tanik zut. So it only makes rabbinic oath, like all those who swear with such a claim, because that's not even considered by the mikzus. He's denying totally what he's saying. He's admitting to something else that requires a rabbinic oath, like a kayif ba'kayil, and definitely not that of the shuris hashemim, because he's not even admitting to the pekadim that he's claiming he gave to him.